Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna.
Welcome into another episode of the Podcastianos.
I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man whose bat will only get hotter as the weather improves. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you?
Strong, healthy, vibrant. Hall, how are you?
I'm good. So you just got back from the family vacation in Florida. How was it?
It was a spring break thing. Lot of driving, friend. We did a lot of driving through Alabama, which is the UP of the South. And, we had experienced some traffic. Evidently, more people from Michigan had the idea to go south for spring break.
Huh. That one really surprises me.
Perplexing, isn't it?
Now, is it as like Alabama football centric in that state as I'm imagining? I'm imagining just like every billboard that you passed was just like a picture of Saban, a picture of insert quarterback whose name I probably should know here. Like, is that all it is?
Well, I mean, if you think of it like how much Michigan State stuff do you see around here? Like a lot of cars have it on there, but it tips like 70-30 to Alabama. And then the other is Auburn. There's still a lot of Auburn stuff too, sure. But it's not like on everything, but yeah, it's the presence is strong.
Yeah. It's kind of what I was imagining. You get many, yes. Many beach days.
We had two warm beach days and it rained a lot too.
Oh, that sucks. What do you do on vacation with kids when it rains? That sounds like a literal nightmare.
Are you truly interested in this? Because I will tell you. So you're running the risk of getting a story.
Sure, why not?
We packed up, me and my brother and all our kids. We packed them up and we took them to the arcade.
Okay.
It was raining. There's nothing to do. We took them to the arcade and, you know, there's no physical tickets anymore. You know, so you're
really?
Swiping.
That's
yeah,
too
it's
bad.
Oh yeah, it's like going to the ATM amusement park. You're swiping and yeah, so, you spend $25 for a 2 cent stuffed animal and away you go. So, but the kids ate it up. They love it. Kids love that stuff.
You guys hit that ski ball?
Oh yeah, gotta slap that ski ball, run it up there.
I can see you being really good at ski ball.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I feel like it's the puns of games.
My boy was crushing the smoke and token, where you send the token down the little ramp.
Oh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you so get any, that was the thing.
Any
did.
Days to chuck the frizz?
No, I brought discs along. I had no time. It was a family thing. You know, you have to negotiate family life. It's not just like, I'm not strutting off by myself.
So anyway, I'm glad to have you back. Did you listen to Adam and Keenan on last time's show?
I did. It kept me company through like Tennessee. So
yeah, they were great. It was great to talk to them. I mean, I'm sure you were taking some notes along the way, ways to improve your performance.
Absolutely. It's like, learning from a great master, like John Wooden, you know, just sitting at his feet.
I thought you were going to say John E. Cain, but Wooden works in that situation too.
A pair of all-time greats, really.
So I don't know if you saw this, but over the weekend in the NBA playoffs, two players from the Philadelphia 76ers were caught by cameras looking at a cell phone on the bench. And Stephen A. seemed to suggest that it was in the fourth quarter and they were down. Now, does that type of behavior make your blood boil towards millennials?
No, not really. You know what I've found? Grown-ups are just as bad. We were at one of my kids' band concerts, and one of the dads is like on his phone, and the mom with a sharp, direct elbow to the put that away, you know, one of these deals. But, you know, aunts and moms and stuff, they're on the thing all the time, too.
Yeah, they, for sure.
Unless you get into the real geriatric set. I mean, they're not looking at it. But, you know, Facebook is all aunts and uncles now, man.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The domain.
I don't remember the last thing that I actually posted on Facebook. Yeah. And the thing is that people my age are actually like good at using their phone real sneakily. Like it's kind of fine. It's your actually probably not even your generation, maybe the generation beyond that is specifically when it comes to texting and driving. Like, I'm not condoning it in the slightest. But,
whoa, careful now. Where are you going with this, bud?
But the majority of people my age can text without looking. Like, it's just so ingrained. Like, I mean, don't do it. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like the you know, 50-year-old, ooh, in my generation type, like,
however, you see them
on the road texting all the time, and they're terrible at it.
Don't text and drive, friends. That's bad advice. Your ideas are bad, all. Don't text and drive.
I wasn't suggesting that you should.
Also, I do think it's fair in a job like a professional sport. If I was the coach or manager, I think it's fair to expect zero phone usage.
Where's the sneakiest place you've ever tried to check your phone?
A wedding, maybe?
Ah, such a rebel.
I think the Tigers were playing or something like that, and oh, I know. Yeah, it was a Tigers World Series game at my brother's wedding.
Okay.
Brother-in-law's
that's,
wedding.
That's on him. If he's trying to get married during the World Series, like you can't expect anyone to not be monitoring the score.
And Mrs. Wayne was even willing to let a little slide because she knew what's truly important.
Yeah, that's smart. So anyway, it brings us to this week's leadoff question. If you were a Major League Baseball manager, what kind of access would you let your players have to their phones during games?
I kind of answered this already. I think it's fair to say zero. Or how about this? You leave it in the clubhouse. And in the Major League setting, how often are people counting every head that's in the dugout? Rarely. So if you sneak away like during the breaks and you sit for a few minutes to check your phone, nobody's catching you.
Yeah,
just
there's
don't
a trillion
have it in the
heads
dugout.
In the dugouts. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, nobody's constantly monitoring that. If you know you're not batting, you know, they sneak back to do their business anyway. I mean, use the bathroom, get some refreshments, whatever, warm up. Like, no, just don't do it in sight. It's fine. But not in the dugout ever.
So that is the obvious answer to the question. But to play devil's advocate, I think it could do wonders for baseball's marketing issues if they had their phones in the dugouts during games. Like, I love the idea of, you know, beanballs going back and forth and all of a sudden they're like subtweeting each other in the dugout. Tell me that wouldn't help baseball's reach. Like, you know, starting pitchers who aren't starting, they should be able to, you know, be ripping jokes to each other on the internet. And I feel like in a lot of ways, doing that would actually like reach the kids that all these stupid pace of play rules were meant to.
I question the premise of your comment a little bit, and that is baseball's marketing issue. I don't know how much of a marketing issue they have. Like, the clubs are all worth $1 billion or more now.
Yeah.
And it's still very popular.
Yeah. Maybe
but
it's the Players Association marketing issue. I mean, When Mike Trout can walk down the street in many cities and not get noticed, which, you know, whether he would or not, I don't know. Like, he is literally the walking greatest player ever, and he's not like instantly face recognizable. That's a problem.
Is it though? He's making a butt ton of money, Hall. He's got a lot of money. Everybody's making lots of money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's stupid money.
It is stupid money.
But I will say this, when they have these spring training games and they have like an outfielder mic'd up and they're mm-hmm. talking to them
it's
while
awesome.
They're playing,
yeah.
That is pretty incredible.
Yes.
I enjoy that a lot.
Same
concept.
I always want,
I always want the ball to be hit to him so I can like hear him breathe heavy, like a, you know, a little bit of that, so I don't feel bad. I want you to work for a little bit, get out of breath. Like every time I climb a flight of stairs, feels so bad for professional athletes.
An interesting take. I bet you're the first person to ever have a take on that specific aspect of athletes being mic'd up.
Things I think about.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinio4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, whatever platform you're listening to the show on. I didn't check this week if we've gotten any new reviews. So if you left us a review, don't worry, we'll get to it. Just not this week.
We promise.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Eric, it's been a really interesting start to the season for the fellas, and even more interesting for, I don't know, say, us viewers on Fox Sports Detroit. What do you say?
Well, is this leading into the players-only broadcasts? Is that where you're going with this?
Funny, yeah. That's where I wanted to go with this.
Oh, boy. Okay. What aspect of this shall we talk about first?
I have this in my notes. They're all kind of low-key train wrecks individually, so let's get rid of the conductor altogether.
Right. You know, my biggest critique of it was that they ignored the game. If you are not interested in the current 2019 Tigers currently playing the game on the field, the broadcast was probably fine. If you're living in the 80s and 90s and you just want to hear these guys and that's the reason you're tuning in, I'm sure it was absolutely fine. But it was hard to pay attention to the game. And at one point, the opposition hit a home run, and Petrie, like 2 seconds later, was like, oh, and there's a home run. And then it just kind of went on with it, along with some of the other action that was happening on the field. And that part I did not like too much.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably my main takeaway from it too. The first of the three, I actually missed cause I was there. And then I had to get in on the action for the second one. And I'm like, oh boy, let's go ahead and not do this one again. I know Shep's, you know, new in the game and they got to get him an off day here and there, but oh boy, let's go ahead and stay away from that one again.
Yeah, and it was a lot of unironic, well, nowadays and back in the day when I played, and it did seem a little grumpy old man-ish at times. You know, they could have when the players were talking about the current Tigers and talking a little bit about technique and strategy and stuff, I was kind of into that. That's fine. I agree with some people who remarked that on a television broadcast, you don't need a thorough play-by-play. And I found that to be true. But I would like the people who are talking about the game to keep up with the action on the field and keep their remarks focused on the game that they are telecasting.
Yeah, or at least the era they're telecasting. Like, right. I mean, when you look at the three of them, you have three old-timers and Craig Monroe who...
You know, has trouble speaking.
His contributions vary from game to day. Like, there should be a little bit of diversity when it comes to point of view. Instead, they're all just going back and forth telling story and saying, oh, well, you could speak to this better, blah, blah, blah. Like, that one drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's a lot of... Yeah.
Nobody is willing to throw out an opinion without deferring to somebody who it might be slightly more in their wheelhouse. Like, I don't know.
And it's a lot of... backslapping and congratulating the other person, you know, oh, you were such a dominant pitcher, you must. And it's kind of after a couple times of that, you're kind of like, all right, that's enough.
Probably like the listeners are thinking about us talking about this. Yeah. Let's move on. As we sit here on the literal, what is it, the halfway point of April, one might even say April in the D, Tigers sit at a palatable 8-7 on a 20-80 scale. Just how lucky have we been early?
We've been extremely lucky, especially the first week. We had like a +2, I think, run differential at one point, and we were like 7-4 or something like that.
Now that didn't scream sustainable to you,
right? At one point, we had fewer runs than the Seattle Mariners had home runs. That part was crazy. You know, for a while we were stuck at like five home runs. I think we're up to like eight now.
Now we're up to seven. We've really jumped up from that five number. Yeah.
But our pitching for the first week in a little bit just really pulled the sled for us. And we won a handful of one run games. So that is a marker
of a great team, a team that's going to go deep in the playoffs.
Get freaking lucky. Having said all that, the pitching has been consistently strong. And given the three dynamics of the game, pitching, defense, and offense, I'll call it. If I want one thing that's most stable, I want to take the pitching.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that part is a little happier because I think the hitting will – it's got to get a little bit better. But we've had, like, no power.
Yeah, from just taking a step back and looking at it from a meta level, like, there's been some not-so-fun games this past week. But this the start of the year has been about as much fun as I kind of assumed the entire season was going to be. Like, this has been a really fun start to the year. We've had some great performances, mainly on the mound, don't get me wrong. Nico's lighting the world on fire. Like, it's been enjoyable so far.
And given some of the setbacks that we had, you know, Matt Moore going out after a good start. I mean, we're a game above 500. We've you know, at least won one against the Indians. I mean, we won the first three series, right? I mean, so there's a lot to be excited about.
Fun. All right, let's jump into it. I feel like you can kind of evenly divide the storylines so far in the season into good and bad, like pretty much evenly. So I'll let you pick. You're the one just coming back from a week off. What do you want to start with tonight? The good news or the bad news?
We should start with the good news.
All right. Let's start with the rotation, and more specifically, yes. AL Cy Young front runner Matthew Boyd. Everything's coming up strikeouts.
Yeah, you know, at the kickoff episode, we had talked about, you know, who's going to have more strikeouts than Turnbull. And I was like, oh, Boyd. And you kind of poo-pooed me. But Boyd has been striking people out like crazy. Well, can you point to a reason for that? Is it a particular pitch? Does he have a strikeout pitch? You pay attention to kind of the pitch-by-pitch stuff more than I do.
The fastball spin rate I looked up is up. He's in the 84th percentile in baseball, which that's nothing to sneeze at. I know you love a good spin rate. Do you read anything into that?
No, because I really don't understand. I mean, more spins are good.
Yeah.
Fewer spins are bad, I'm assuming. I know that much.
That's he's being a lot more efficient.
Okay.
I mean,
pounding the strike zone.
Yeah. I was looking it up. He's set it. His pace right now is on pace for a career low in pitches per innings pitched, while massively bumping up the strikeouts. Like, that's a really hard combination to put together. So he's getting after guys early in counts and when possible, putting them away with the strikeout. Like, I don't know. I told Keenan this or Keenan Adam this on last time's show. He looks to be carrying himself differently out there. Like,
so what do we have here, Jordan? What is Boyd now? Is he a solid, is he a number two MLB pitcher now? Is he an ace?
If he pitches like this the rest of the year, then yeah, I don't know that this stuff is like uber elite. I mean, to be an ace, you have to be one of the top 30 starting pitchers in baseball. I mean, essentially, I don't know.
He's our ace.
Oh, it's all relative. But yeah. I mean, he's certainly a top 60 starting pitcher in baseball if he's throwing like this.
Okay.
I mean, he's top four in the AL in strikeouts. And
you're buying into the intangibles, huh? The swagger, the will to win, carrying himself differently.
See, I don't know that it's necessarily a thing, other than he just looks more comfortable out there. He looks more like he believes that he belongs out there. And while I genuinely think that the majority of the stories like that are kind of overblown, I don't know. It feels like he thinks that he's an ace out there. And if you think that you're an ace, there's a better chance that you're going to pitch like an ace than not. You know what I mean?
You got your correlation, your causation reversed. When you pitch a little bit better, when you pitch good, all of a sudden you think I'm a good pitcher because you're pitching good. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's got more swagger because he's good.
He wasn't great in spring training, though. I mean, not that you should base anything on spring training, but I don't know. I feel like everything kind of started as things developed in his first start of the year. I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with him over the course of the year. We may very well have stumbled upon a very lucrative asset there.
Yeah, he's been good.
Cold water, though, his exit velocity yielded is not significantly lower than career norms, which, you know, make of that what you will. He's not yielding harder contact less often than he has in the past.
Right, but if that stays fixed and he's got more strikeout.
Yeah, you would think that's even out to be a successful combination. Right. Yeah. Other starters have been good. Tyson Ross, averaging six innings a start, you know, kind of workman-like numbers across the board, but he's eating innings. We could have taken that at points last year. Turnbull, more strikeouts and innings pitched. I don't know that he's quite flashing the promise that maybe I thought he was on the hot take episode, but you know, they're called hot.
Well, he's going to have some ups and downs and bumps, but he flashes the really good stuff. Like you said, I mean, he's got some dynamite stuff.
Often he's one pitch away from getting out of innings, you know, with no damage or very limited damage. And he hasn't yet been able to make that pitch. But the I can't say the word arsenal without laughing at
because of Jim Price. Yeah.
He has the skill set to be able to make that pitch. So I do think that there's something there. And Matt Moore, he looked like shockingly good before the injury. Like, who are you? This isn't the real Matt Moore before the injury.
He was almost easy to get excited about. Now with this injury, my understanding is they're not going to go to surgery. They're going to let this thing try to calm down and rehab or whatever. To me, my experience of that has been that rarely works.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just,
though, to be fair, the majority of the time you hear that specific storyline is with elbow injuries, not necessarily knee.
Oh, this is a, this is a knee.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
Let me look this up. I vaguely think that I heard that he is actually going to have surgery.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah, he will undergo surgery on Wednesday. So today? Monday. In 2 days, he'll go under the knife. Best wishes, Matt.
Glad we could share that news with our faithful listeners. We're right on it.
I'm imagining the listeners were aware of the news. So which of the three,
you know, if you had competent hopes,
if only Adam and Keenan were here, which of the three kind of give you the most hope? It's gotta be Turnbull, right?
Hope?
Yeah.
Oh, of the secondary people?
Yeah, like which of their you know, are you taking optimism from?
I mean, Ross. I mean, I was fairly impressed with Ross. I thought he was going to be a train wreck, but he's been okay. Get to eat those innings. Turnbull has the most upside for sure. Now you're going to see, are we going to talk about Norris?
Nah. Wasn't planning on it, but you can if you want.
I mean, he's getting that spot now, right?
Yeah, this is a good thing. I mean, we're going to find out whether he is good or not, but getting this opportunity for kind of an extended run is no doubt a good thing, right?
Right. Well, and he's come in and kind of filled the gap here a couple times, and it seems like he's able to get three innings kind of pretty good, and then it seems to be about fourth or fifth inning things seem to fall apart. I feel like I've seen that in some of his starts
too. Here's the thing, we're in an era in baseball that's fine. Like, if you
innings,
yeah, if you manage it, I mean, it's essentially a glorified, you know, starter for like, or opener, excuse me, what the Rays do. I mean, you could do worse than having a guy who gives you three pretty quality innings, one, you know, every time through. You just have to be on top of it. It's certainly not ideal. You'd rather him go six, but, you know, you can do worse.
I understand.
Let's see. Other things that have been good. Do we actually have a really good bullpen?
Yes, it's crazy. I mean, that's been the first week in plus why we won so many games. Green has been lights out. He's been terrific.
Record setting Shane Green.
Incredible. And it, you feel like you have a little bit of trust. Jimenez had some bumps.
Yeah, but he's okay. Good. Like, yeah. We have – so Shane Green is top 15 in AL pitchers, not just relief pitchers in WAR. Yeah. And we have four other positive WAR relievers that doesn't count Joe, Blaine, or Verhagen, who, you know, historically, like, they're all good pitchers. Like,
right.
There's – that is a useful group of guys we have out there for – I mean, we've been doing the show quite a while now.
Right. And I mean, it feels like if you can get through the fifth, through the sixth, all of a sudden you're in good shape instead of being, oh my gosh, we only got through five, we're toast.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, obviously things can change, especially with bullpen pieces, because, you know, right. That typically tends to be the dull end of the spear. But, you know, I'm very positive about where the bullpen is. The thing is there's guys out there with some really good stuff and the ability to control it. Like, we've had kind of both ends of the spectrum. It's been a long time since we've had several guys that can actually, you know, do both.
Well, that would be just a very foreign experience for us all, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. So let's move on to the bad. The offense, Eric, has been really bad. I actually envy you for having the chance to escape it for several days down in Florida. Your buns are probably warm, but the offense, it is not.
Yeah, I tan in a thong, so absolutely.
I don't think would surprise any of our listeners.
I could keep in a Speedo trying to tan my cheeks, you know, like I'm a LMFAO.
Speaking of dated references.
Sexy and I know it all.
So I have the failures categorized into what appears to be three different categories. Let's start with lack of hitting in general. Five regulars are hitting .233 or below. Now, is that the case for most good teams?
No, no.
Okay.
We should be hitting
he
better.
Writes that down in his notes. Okay.
Not good.
Yeah. Lack of power.
Yeah.
We have seven homers on the year. Alarmingly only hit by four different players.
And yes, Gordo's got two.
He has 29% of our season homers.
Gordo's got two bombs. That's going to be the funniest thing that's happened this year. The most weird thing.
It's, I mean, sure sign of the apocalypse for sure. We're second to last in total base. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's like three guys hitting for us. That's it.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
So is this is the light hitting station, you know, take the extra base? Is that Guardy team makeup? Are we just underperforming terribly or bad roster composition?
Jordy Mercer is not going to hit a ton. Grayson Griner hasn't hit a lick.
Remember when I said that he was one of the guys that might hit the, I forget whatever WAR tally I put up for guys that are going to hit that. And he was one of my candidates. There's a decent chance that prediction does not come true.
Yeah, he's bad.
I think what four? That was probably a bit optimistic.
Yeah. Harrison is going to hit some. And he's hit a little bit. So Hicks has not. I mean, Hicks is coming on a little bit. Stewart is going to hit for some power, but he's not going to hit for any average.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if his season numbers looked very similar to what his numbers look now, just extrapolated over a full year.
I mean, Mikey Matuk got 25 plate appearances and hit the ball zero times.
Yeah, it's really a shame the whole Chris Davis thing was going on, because Mikey could have gotten a little love, or whatever you want to call that type of attention, had Chris Davis not been doing what he was doing so much worse.
Dustin Peterson had a couple timely hits, but he's not hitting. He's hitting .148. Gordo hits two bombs, but he's batting .176.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. Where is his slugging percentage rank on the team? It's got to be near Gordo? The top. Yeah.
Let's take a peek. See, Gordo's. Oh, he doesn't qualify.
Come on.
I know. The internet. Shake my fist at you. He is slugging .588. And that is second only to Ronnie Rodriguez on the team. And he's batting .176.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
You want to hear other bad stats?
Yes.
We have 149 strikeouts in 15 games.
Ugh.
So a game consists of 27 outs.
Mm-hmm.
Way more of them than half are strikeouts.
That's next level bad.
Guardy seems super alarmed. We're living in an era where strikeout numbers are way up.
Right.
This does seem maybe a hair bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it will normalize a little bit. It's, yeah.
But
it has to.
There are a lot of strikeout bats in our lineup. However, Miggy, Candy, and Nick all have pretty substantial strikeout rates. I think they're leading the team right now. And they're not notorious strikeout guys. Like there will be some normalization there. So is there offense to be found? I think that's the big question. Like, where do we go from here, from this bottom tier offense? Like, is it actually going to get better?
Okay, who's got potential to get better from their first 2 weeks? Miguel Cabrera.
I
would say.
I would love to believe you. I'm on the fence.
Well, so he's batting .250-something.
That feels about right at this point.
Yeah.
I would love for it not to be the case because he's a legend, but I'm starting to question.
Okay. Nick is, this is about what Nick is.
What,
255, but no power.
He hit like 297 last year, didn't he? There's definitely room for improvement there. Okay. I think that will normalize.
Who else? Dustin Peterson.
I think the fact that you came to his name third is probably a pretty good indication that the offense just isn't going to be great.
Okay, let me start position by position. Griner stinks, and I'm not convinced he's going to be any better. John Hicks, I think, can hit a little bit better.
Yeah.
Harrison has been bad. He's batting .135.
I'm not sure that improves much. There's a pretty substantial downward.
Dude, he's batting more than .135.
Oh, yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I could see him pulling it to 230, 240, but I think there's a pretty substantial downtrend. The arrow is pointing down next to his stock. Anyway.
Yeah. So you got Mercer. He is what he is. He's not going to get any better. Candelario, he could hit a little bit more.
Yep.
He'll get better. Stewart is probably not going to hit for any more power than he has, but he might get a few more hits. Matuk's gone. Castellanos and Miguel Cabrera.
Well, you're adding in Jacoby for Mikey Matuk. I think that's I hate to say it, but I think that's maybe the biggest spot for improvement.
Well, Jacoby is going to go catch the ball for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's really always the case. I think,
And when you have Nick and Stewart on each side of him, you need Jacoby Jones. Jacoby could hit 100 batting at, whatever. We need his glove out there in center.
Yeah.
Especially at Comerica.
All right, let's move on. One more topic before we get into the nonsense. Most interesting conundrum of the young season, and that's what to make of the performance of our ace, our opening day starter, Jordan M. Zimmerman. Now, if you look at the first two starts, he was lights out.
So good.
So impressive. If you look at the second two starts, you might notice his ERA jump from .66 to 4.29. Now, that is not ideal. Stephen Campbell asked us on Twitter, when someone says Zimmerman looks back to normal, are they referring to starts 1 and 2 or starts 3 and 4?
I mean, it's a great question. I feel like the experience I've had with Zimmerman has been promise early and reality late. Remember when we first got Zimmerman, his first 8 starts,
yes.
How dominant he was?
He was incredible.
And now he was incredible. And then the first 2 starts this year, he's incredible. And then all of a sudden something falls off. I don't know if it's fatigue or if it's just I don't know what it is, but I don't know if you broke down, you know, how the spin rates or how his pitches are working, but it seemed to me like the slide is some of his cutting stuff, slider, just didn't have the swerve that it did the first two starts. I mean, that's about all I could tell you.
Yeah.
But I'm not an expert.
We actually sat behind we were at Comerica for his start against the Indians. So it would be start three. And we were like right behind the plate. It was a perfect view of the movement on the pitches. And I can definitely confirm some of the pitches that I assumed were breaking balls lacked a little bit of that. Certainly the you know, horizontal plane break.
Yeah.
Especially compared, he was matched up against Corey Kluber, who some of the movement on his pitches was borderline sensual. Like it was a joy to watch.
Erotic moment for you. Is it intimate?
It was definitely. And so he fell apart a little bit later on in that start, but for a while he was giving up a lot of kind of cheapy solo homers, and it just like he was looked like he was missing spots just by a little bit. As things, as you say, as he kind of tired, it looked like he was missing more out over the plate, and it's not great to be tiring in start three of the season. Like, that's not good. I didn't see his fourth starting against the Twins, so I can't really comment on that. I don't know. I wanted to believe so bad. I'm gonna give him a little bit more time before I completely write him off. Maybe 5 and 6 are the, you know, the mean and where he settles in.
We really lived the narrative for a little while, and then now the narrative is fleeting.
It is. Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's move on to power rankings.
Power rankings. There was a big occurrence last night, Jordan, and this is going a little far afield, but do you watch the Game of Thrones?
I don't. I think you know.
Okay.
That.
How many Seinfeld references do you reckon I've weathered during the life of this podcast?
Oh, numerous.
How many?
Yeah, I will definitely afford you some references that I do not understand.
I'm gonna cash in all those chips right now with my Game of Thrones characters power rankings.
All right, this is one people for all watch the nerds. This. Yes, I know they do.
This is a very popular television show.
I don't understand how everyone has HBO. Like,
you can just subscribe to it. You don't even need a cable. You just like go on the internet and you get it.
Yes, but
it's fine.
I don't even have Spotify money, let alone that HBO money. That's next level money. Anyway, well, tell us your nerd tales.
All the non-poors are watching Game of Thrones, okay? Just want to let you know. Okay. Sorry to all the poors out there. This is my bad.
Okay. On behalf of the rest of us, it's okay.
Okay, Game of Thrones, my dragon soap opera show. I love the show. Here we go. Starting 7th from the best, we have Sandor the Hound Clegane. The Hound. He's so awesome. Ornery, quick-witted, but you know, he's softened a little bit. It's kind of this redemption story. He was such a badass the first, you know, few seasons, but his heart is warmed. You know, he digs the hole and buries the farm girl's body. Oh, it's kind of a touching moment. You want something good for the Hound, but you know it's not going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
And he just kind of refuses not to die. He refuses to die, but I like the Hound. He's number seven.
It's a good life strategy, really, refusing to die.
Refuse to die. Number six is Olenna Tyrell. So good. So good. She's kind of the ultimate matriarch badass. And she was definitely, in my eyes, the smartest character on the show. And that's saying something. When you have Littlefinger and Varys and Tyrion and everybody else, she was always very savvy and fun. I always liked Olenna Tyrell. She's number six. Any comments on that, Jordan?
Finger guns.
Gotcha. Moving up to number five, we have Tormund Giantsbane.
Who's coming Tormund up with these names?
Yeah. George R.R. Martin, the guy who did it.
Oh, that's Tormund, fair.
Tormund is awesome. He's got, you know, the red hair, the red beard. He's got a kind of a redemption story too, from being this wildling kind of bad guy. He's tough, but he's kind of like, you know, redneck, kind of dumb, kind of plays the ignorant card. And you gotta love his little, you know, romance with Brienne of Tarth, don't you?
Everyone loves that. That's Tormund. Yeah, America's sweethearts.
Coming in at number four is Tyrion. Tyrion is played by Peter Dinklage, if you know who that is.
That is Miles Finch from Elf, right?
That is exactly right.
All right.
I liked Tyrion more in the earlier seasons. He was a little bit more complex. And now he's gotten a little weak and predictable, being the hand of the queen. But it's still tough to beat how good Peter Dinklage is. He's really good in that role. He's always fun to watch.
Yeah, good talk.
Number three for me is Bronn. Bronn is this funny, kind of smirking guy. He's quick-witted and has a snappy retort. He pretends it's all for the money and the castles, but you know it's not. There's something more to Bronn. I think we shall see in the, I don't, you know, too many spoilers, but Bronn's going to be put to the test here. And I think he embodies the idea of friendships. You know, the real treasure is the friends you meet along the way, Hall.
That's what I hear the show is all about. Yeah.
It's about love and friendships. Okay. Number two is Jon Snow. John is, he's just so damn virtuous. He's like really trying his best to be good, which is, you know, a really good characteristic for him. But he's always suffering in some way. You know, he's out in the cold, or he's, you know, getting stabbed or something like that. But he just keeps moving up the ladder. Huh. Old John Snow.
Good job, Johnny.
We'll keep you from any spoilers. So, okay, I've already banked six Seinfeld references that I won't understand. Continuing on, the number one Game of Thrones character. You got a guess, Hall?
I was going to try and make something up, but I have nothing.
You have nothing.
I have nothing.
It's Samwell Tarly. Obviously. Sam Tarly is the best. He's my favorite character. He kind of echoes a little bit for me Hurley on Lost. Did you ever watch Lost?
I did not.
He's kind of this big dude, kind of a little bit of comic relief. My favorite line is when Bran goes, "I'm the three-eyed raven." And Samwell goes, "Oh, I don't know what that means." And I thought that was hilarious. That was my favorite line. He's got quips. And also, he's the most realistic character because he's like afraid a lot and like doesn't understand what's going on, which is how I would be too. So that's the top seven. The bottom three, are you ready?
Oh, couldn't be more ready.
The bottom three is third from the worst is Bran and Brandon Stark. And I don't like the fantasy elements of the show as much as I do like the quips and the dialogue and the political intrigue. So Bran just kind of doesn't do it for me. He's off like warging and looking into the, what, you know, children of the forest or whatever. That doesn't do it for me. He's just like sitting there staring. There's like 1,000 memes now about Bran.
Yeah, that sounds wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah. Number two is Brienne of Tarth. I'm not really digging her. I don't find her particularly charming. thing. And I suppose it's kind of in her, supposed to be her character to be a little bit like clunky. But I, when she comes in on scenes, I never really look forward to them. I'm always kind of like, well, let's move on. Not feeling Brienne. The worst character on Game of Thrones is Dario Naryse. And it's not even close. He's awful. Because he's supposed to be like the new leader of the Dothraki. But he's super confusing because he's always just kind of like hanging out in the background. He's never really active in any of the scenes. And the worst thing is they switched actors.
Oh, that like, is the season, worst. Yeah, like
season
when Aunt Viv got whatever, switched out in Fresh Prince.
Yes.
Yes. You can't do that.
That's exactly what happened. And there's like there's this new guy just picking up this role. And I'm like, who the heck is this? And it took me like half the season to figure out, oh, that's supposed to be the guy from the other. That's supposed to be Dario. Like, they didn't even look anything alike. And I was so confused. I hate that when they do it. That's the worst. That's like on Roseanne. Remember Roseanne, the daughter was like switched out too.
And did not watch that. So
yeah, yeah. So Dario Naryse is the worst Game of Thrones character, and this has been a very nerdy fantasy soap opera power rankings. Thank you.
You're welcome. Wow, that was really something. There's a lot of characters. If you just busted out 10, and there's ample more.
Oh, Hall, don't. I mean, there are hundreds of characters all interlock. There's so many characters.
I'm sure this is probably going to surprise you, but I at times have trouble keeping storylines and characters straight. So even more so, this feels like it's not a show for me.
You would hate this. And these episodes are long and there's a lot going on. You would not have patience for it, but it's so good. So good.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So springtime is the absolute best for seeing crap on the side of the road while you're out running.
Yes, it is.
I think people fail to realize that, like, when you throw crap into the snow, eventually the snow is going to melt, and, you know, like, the crap you threw there is still going to be there. So
it just doesn't disappear.
Even in wintertime, it's still littering. So, you know, in the last week, the majority of our snow has finally melted, finally had some clear roads, chance to get back to my normal running routine. And so it's a bit of a bumper edition of things that I saw on the side of the road while running tonight. First one.
Lay it on us.
Super interesting. So, you know, like the big jugs of paint, not like a can of paint, like the big ones that have that are plastic and have the lids that you tap on.
Are you talking like a 5-gallon bucket?
Yeah, there you go. Three separate lids to those over the course of like a mile, not even together and no buckets, just the lids. Super.
Well, that
kind
of makes sense.
Does it? How?
Well, if you're putting the in the back of a pickup truck and you're driving down the road, and if there's something in the bucket, that's not going to fly off, but the lid is just going to catch some wind and fly off.
All right. I suppose that could be.
Yeah. So you're just seeing the lids.
Just the lids. And not together. Spaced out. Evenly. Okay. I'm just kidding. Not evenly. Bunch of snow scrapers, obviously. This appears to be that if you need to collect one for free, this is apparently the time to do it.
Sure.
Loads of empty alcohol bottles.
Yeah.
You got to drink heavily to get through winter up here. I understand that.
Fireball, a lot of Fireball bottles.
Not so much like this year. That was more of a last year thing. I think Northern Michigan
we've reached
moved on
peak fireball.
Yeah. And the last thing, kind of, you know, I'm a car novice, but I believe that it was the whole panel of like a brake and a turn signal light.
Sure. Just alongside the road?
Just laying on the side of the road. I'd love to, like, you know, have witness when they got out of their car and like, crap, man, where'd that go? Well, I know where that's at. All right.
You should start a little like collection, you know, like the Little Mermaid, pick stuff up, you know, this is a dingle hopper. You start a little museum of that stuff in your house.
Yeah. I'm sure Whitney would be thrilled about that.
Collecting garbage every day. That's great.
I mean, it's literal garbage.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Twitter questions. If you want to get in touch with the show, I am at Jordan Hall 23. Eric is at Comeric Eric. And the show is at Podcastianos. Typically, whatever night of the week we're recording, I'll either send out, hey, lay your questions on us, or Eric will, or the show's account will. And then you give us the questions and we answer them. That's pretty
everybody
much...
who submitted a question this week got a participation trophy.
Yeah.
Thanks for participating.
I was confused as to why you were giving everyone a trophy. And then we got to the bottom of that one. Yeah. First one is from at Chinny's Twits. He said, has the season already peaked?
We've had our first really good moment, and that's rising to first place. Is that going to be our high watermark?
I think there's a pretty good
probably
chance.
In the standings it will be, but I think we'll have a more fun little stretches or kind of, you know, wonderful moments later in the year that will be warming to us. But we've probably enjoyed our time in the sun in first place.
Yeah, that feels about right. Next one is from Joseph Kyleman. Who does your music and the info tags for your show? Follow-up question. How did you get Blaine Hardy and Eric's mom to do the tags? Your mom was the real tough one to get it recorded.
Yeah, she's a celebrity. That's right. You know, basically I held the phone to her face. I said, "Hey mom, say this." And she's like, "What? What's it for?" I said, "Just say it, mom." And that's how I got it. Just like you do with anything with your parents, like just do this.
I mean, that's right. The literal story of how I got Blaine to say it. Yeah. No, I'm just
don't
kidding.
Ask questions.
We were at spring training and Blaine was just kind of mingling amongst the fans and I'm like, "Hey Blaine, will you say this for me?" And it took him a minute to realize, you know, Castellanos, like to put that together.
Sure.
But then
he got it.
Then he got it. And he thought it was good.
It was funny. It was punny.
It was certainly punny. The music.
My mom had no idea. She still didn't. She has no idea. She could hardly. You listen to the clip. She hardly can say it. So
does she know what a podcast is?
No. Roughly. Maybe. Probably not.
That feels about right.
Is there something on the radio? Who knows?
It's on the phone. It's on the phone radio, mom.
It's all mom's talk. What?
Music is by a now defunct hip hop group, New Linen, and my friend Sean was who did the intro. All right, let's move on. At D-Kick Hoonigan, besides this thread, what's the weirdest thing you would give a participation trophy for? This feels like a you question.
For me, it should be sexual intercourse. Yeah. I mean, you have that experience. Boom. You should get a trophy. I feel like, so, you know, you put on your mantle and like, oh, there's a person that's done it. You know, just a nice little memento to say, you know, I've had this life experience. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody.
So but, it's a bedroom trophy, not a living room trophy.
No, I'm putting that in my living room. Of course, putting it on the front porch, probably. Let passersby know that, you know, this is territory I've charted.
Swiftly, we move on. Steve Butts asks, any chance you will break out a new Daniel Norris's brain Twitter account to give voice to the ever enigmatic Tigers left-handed swingman?
You know, if I was younger. It had more energy. I might have, but I'm old and lazy now. I don't know.
I feel like that'd get real repetitive. Like, how many times can you tweet something about going surfing, bruh? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Parody accounts were hot.
They were, yeah.
Extra spicy for a while. And I feel like Twitter has kind of moved past that. Maybe we've all grown and moved past it. The parody account thing.
I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with the insinuation that Twitter has moved on from anything or has matured in any way.
Well, it's gotten more serious and more angry.
That it certainly has.
Maybe that's more accurate.
Yeah. David Fleece asked, who is the first Tiger to be traded / overvalued?
Shane Green.
I agree. I think that both of those are... Well, he clearly hasn't been traded yet, but he's definitely starting to be overvalued. The second, you know, I love Shane. I was on the Shane train, you know, way back.
Shane
but
train.
The second we get a competitive offer for him, see ya. We don't need a closer. We need, you know, pieces.
Right.
Anthony Troya says, so Gordon Beckham's home run power, ? Kidding. Do you think if he stays healthy that Stewart can crack 25 homers?
So I was going to look this up, but what is he on pace for? So we are how many games in? Let's do some math. So we're 15 games in. We're approximately, what, a tenth of the way through the season, and he's got three.
That feels about right, yeah.
So three times 10 is 30. Maths, as they say in England. Do you know they call it maths, not math, singular? That's always funny.
Do they call it? I mean, it makes sense. Mathematics. They're so much more smart than we are.
They sure sound smarter.
Yeah.
So he's pacing. I feel like this is a sustainable pace for him.
Yeah.
Right. Three out of every, you know, basically a home run every five games. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the power is very legit. That average is legit also.
He's going to swing and miss a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're in an era that that's fine. Just you don't want him to be one of your main run producers.
Correct.
Jake Skronik says, go Hoos. Congrats, by the way. He goes to the University of Virginia. You guys suffered literally the most embarrassing experience in the history of sports. And somehow to come back the next year and win it all, that's a massive tip of the cap. The question.
I don't feel like we don't need to break down our bracket, but I will say this. I picked Virginia to win, and I was still in seventh place. That's like how bad my bracket was.
Yeah. I don't know who won. I haven't checked in quite some time. Yeah. I'm not sure if you what your Game of Thrones knowledge is. Obviously, yours is quite good. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to hear what tiger you think deserves to sit on the Iron Throne.
Actually, I'm looking at his tweet, and he said the Iron Throbe, which is a fun typo. Ultimately, who is the most worthy? Nico. Nico has rose from the lower echelons to ascend and wear the crown for all of Westeros. I don't know. I'm making this up. I have no idea.
So I didn't realize that there was like a, you know, achievement aspect to it. I thought it was just like who would be most baller on a throne. Obviously like thrones and crowns, like that's kind of Mickey's territory.
Triple crown.
He won the triple crown. Sure. I think that Blaine would enjoy it the most. I bet he's really into Game of Thrones. And I think Nick would look the most natural sitting on a throne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miggy's definitely the Cersei Lannister of the group for sure.
That is a person who I know who it is. At North River Vodka asks, what is the official vodka of the Podcastianos?
Smirnoff. No, it's it's North River Vodka. I don't always drink vodka, but when I do, I choose the only vodka made with all Michigan-grown potatoes. That's right, friends. Try today a North River Vodka for those of you who are 21 and older. Thank you.
That's like the – now that you've gotten your Game of Thrones references. I'll throw a Seinfeld one back at you. That reminds me of when Kramer was making up advertisements for Hennigan's. Does that ring any bells?
No, it does not. How about for
yourself? That's what you always tell me. Culture yourself. You should know the Seinfeld references.
I know. Maybe I should bust those out and get to know them a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. All right, one more. At Tech Jansen says, which Detroit sports team is going to win the next championship? That's right up your alley.
Pistons are in the playoffs. They're playing tonight. They have the first crack at it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think they're going to win it this year.
You're probably correct.
That is my
That
NBA
is a
knowledge.
Fair question. Like, who is going to win the next championship for Detroit? The Tigers aren't particular. It might be the Tigers.
Yeah, I think it is. So here's how I break it down. It seems very unlikely that anyone's dethroning the Warriors anytime soon. The Lions are never going to win the Super Bowl. Like, just never. Like, there is no universe out there where the Lions ever win the Super Bowl. And I don't know anything about the Red Wings. So it's a toss up there. I'll go Tigers. Probably on the back of, like, Willie Castro.
I think they have as equal a shot as any of the other teams.
Yeah. What we're sure. saying is it could be a not so great couple years of sports coming up for Detroit sports fans.
This decade that's coming to the close is the first one in a century where none of the Big Four or Michigan State won a title. Unless the Pistons pull it off, the 2010s are the first ones that no team will have won one.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's bad. Well, if you guys want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And please subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you're listening to the show on. Welcome back, buddy. I'm glad Thanks. You're back in Michigan. I'm sure you're glad to be back to all the snow this morning.
You know, it was fascinating. The Whitecaps tweeted out a picture. They had like 3 inches of snow on the field this morning, and they played tonight. I think it all melted, and away you go.
Yeah. Michigan, man. I'll tell you what.
Gotta be tough. Gotta be like Thorman Giantsbane.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
Yeah, tweet me your hot Game of Thrones takes. Let's talk about Game of Thrones. It's such a good show.
I can only tell me about dragons. What you're in for now.
Tweet me your hot Game of Thrones takes.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.